The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Hi, it's Sam Smith. And when last I left you, Joakim Noah was tied to the tracks, and a locomotive was bearing... That's the end of the serials that I used to do in the old movies, probably before everybody's time. But as I was talking about last week, probably Noah, we were certain, was going to be an all-star, and nobody was taking wages on that. Not that we gamble. It's not an NBA thing. And he did get added to the team very justifiably. And I think most of the picks were pretty reasonable. Obviously, the one to Joe Johnson, the one brought up the most question, and probably, you know, he's a good player, probably been playing the best on that team this season, and they are just a couple of games under 500, like most everybody is in the Eastern Conference. So it wasn't ridiculous. Lance Stephenson, there's a lot of sentiment for that. I think that would have been ridiculous, given he's probably the fourth most important player on that team, and basically never has the ball in the fourth quarter or very rarely when they need anything. But it's having a good season. I think the one guy that got overlooked in the Eastern Conference clearly was Al Jefferson. Great month, averaged like 24 and almost 12 in January. And take a look at that starting lineup. Kid Gilchrist and Sessions, McRoberts. It's pretty amazing they score at all. Jefferson's just had a terrific season. And Charlotte doing much better than expected. So he certainly was more an obvious omission. And I think that the day the reserves were announced, went and got 40 in L.A. and they won in on that road trip, which I don't think the Bobcats have won on a road trip in 8 years or something. But they won in Denver and in L.A. back-to-back. Impressive wins for that franchise. And in the Western Conference, Dragic, Phoenix is having an extraordinary season, as we know. The Dragic, the Anthony Davis, who the Bulls saw actually jumping over them most of the time last Saturday, just had a spectacular game, half dozen blocks, 27 points, averaging 20 and 10. And this guy in his second year, with all the injuries he's had, missed half of last year, just a month away this year, is developing into one of the great stars of the game. And I am assuming if... Kobe Bryant is out, indeed, that they would add him, given the game is in New Orleans. That's also Adam Silver, the new commissioner. I wrote a little bit about Stern, and there was vast and many plaudits and talks and columns and interviews given with Stern's last day, or at least in an official commissioner's position last week, last Saturday. And we talked about, obviously, all talked about all the marketing and the growth of the league and all that. But I've been a big fan of Stern's for the social changes, really, in the NBA with minority coaches and owners and executives. And never a ripple, never a question. Really makes it almost the best place in America to work, given the fact, there's so much opportunity no matter, who you are, what you do. When Magic Johnson had HIV and even some of the own players didn't want to play with him, Stern was the one who stepped out front, supported Johnson, basically gave America an education process about AIDS and HIV. The Women's League, D-League, International Ball, a dream team. I mean, Stern didn't dream it all up. FIBA was more influential in suggesting it. But Stern got on board and supported that. And even though some owners have balked about, justifiably so, understandably so, at least paying players who risked injury playing in overseas tournaments, it's truly catapulted the NBA ahead of all the other leagues, American leagues, in an international status. So it really has been a, amazing tenure. But the quickly back to Noah in the All-Star game. That's two in a row. Yeah, he'd been having his best season when he was selected last week. He had 17 consecutive games of double-figure reboundings, averaging a double-double, leading all centers in the league in assists, and apparently soon to be traded. Yes, all somebody would have to mention that. Just like last week, there was sort of a casual throwaway line in one of the Chicago media, I think it was, about, well, the Bulls might be looking to trade Taj Gibson. And, you know, they could have been looking to trade Michael Jordan or Scottie Pippen or Dennis Rodman or Bill Cartwright, or in this case now, Joakim Noah. Or anyway, there's nothing to that. The Bulls haven't been looking to trade Gibson, haven't. I think that the way it was worded was that they've been getting calls on Gibson. Well, you know, Miami gets calls on LeBron James, too. Oklahoma City gets calls on Kevin Durant. Sometimes you call up and say, you know what, you interested in trading Kevin Durant? And then Oklahoma City says, no, we're not. But anyway, so then it can become a topic of discussion, which is fine. And I think there is a point of debate, you know, about Taj Gibson. I'm certain he's not going to be involved in any trade situations. Well, I can't be certain of that. Certain would be, you know, if Oklahoma City called and said that we've always longed for Taj, and, you know, if he would take Durant and Westbrook off our hands, they would really love to do that. But that's probably not likely either. The talk, you know, you hear sometime, I've heard this among some fans mostly, actually, which is probably why it's certainly not going to occur. But the notion is, you know, yes, and here we go, Carmelo Anthony again. He's not going to be with the Bulls, and my guess would be he'll be back with the Knicks, not only financially, the $30 million extra that he would make, or he would give up going anywhere else on the length of a contract difference. But also the Knicks are in pretty good shape. They have one more year to play it out with Stoudemire's contract, with a couple other contracts. They'll be way below the cap. They'll be able to go get a max player or more. You know, they can string it out another year. I think they'll make the playoffs this season. They're always in a position where they'll use their mid-level. They'll spend money, and so they'll be able to add another player. Who knows, they can make a trade, Shumpert, you know, make some changes. And I'm sure they'll be able to build a good case for Anthony that he would have no interest in going anywhere. Unless the one thing, and I don't know exactly how it could happen because the Knicks are not going to cooperate in any trade, but the one thing you could see is somehow Miami pulls something off with Bosch, or if Dwayne Wade all of a sudden decides to retire, or some bizarre situation, which I don't expect either, and I don't expect Dwayne Wade to walk away from retiring from two more years of money, and even though he's had to play a lot less than he's played in previous years, I'm sure he'll want to continue that way. But the scenario involving Gibson is this, that the Bulls amnesty Boozer, basically get rid of their entire team. Amnesty Boozer, they've already let Lou Dang go to Cleveland, which is another story and has turned into actually a major mess, apparently, according to some reports. It was in the New York Daily News and the Akron Beacon Journal over the weekend about this incredible dysfunction involving Irving and Dion Waiters. And Lou Dang probably wants to go to Detroit or Charlotte to join Ben Gordon now, the way it's gone. Poor Lou. Anyway, Lou will be doing fine as an unrestricted free agent, I'm sure. But anyway, this alleged Gibson scenario was, well, you amnesty Boozer, you give Gibson to somebody else into cap room. He's played well in scoring and rebounding. He's actually playing by far the best of his career. So, of course, you give him away now, too. So then you would have no power forwards at all. You've already gotten rid of Dang. So you've either got no starting shooting guard or small forward, depending on where Jimmy Butler ends up. So now that you would be under the cap, $20 million under, you would be in position to offer, because their bills would be out $10 million now, were they to amnesty Boozer and do nothing else. So, and also let Heinrich go too. So now you're also down a point guard, but Derrick Rose is to be back. And then you got to deal with the whole DJ Augustine thing too. And as well as he's played, he's certainly going to be in the position to get another offer. And if you want to bring him back, you're going to need money for that. But that said, this notion that has been expounded by some is that you basically clear out all these guys. You know, you lose Heinrich, you lose Boozer, you lose Gibson for nothing. You've already lost Dang. You're going to lose Augustine. You do all these things to get Carmelo Anthony because he's this, quote, second star to support Rose. Now, the notion being that, like I said, that Anthony wants to come to Chicago to take $30 million less, to play for a team without all those players. Somehow that would be a better chance to win a title than he has in New York. And then, even though we believe Derrick Rose will be fine, nobody fully knows until they see him in play again, which is not likely to be next October. So Anthony is going to do all these things with his wife already having come out publicly saying she prefers to stay in New York. So it's obviously a ludicrous thing, even if the Bulls wanted to do it, which I'm almost certain, fairly certain, 99% they wouldn't. And I think eventually at some point, either next season or the season after, they likely have Gibson targeted as their starting power forward. They certainly, after investing so much in him playing so well at this level, and now his contract, you know, after a shaky season last year, his extension looking fine at about $8 million for a starting power forward, you know, as in this NBA, you know, is a very nice position to be in. So it would be really very questionable to go in that direction, and I'm sure the Bulls wouldn't be doing that. Actually, I don't expect to see any major free agency sort of summer for the Bulls. I think it's going to be a lot less activity than people think, just because of the position they're in with Rose's salary, with Noah's salary. That's $31 million right there just alone. Gibson with another $8-something. Now you're up to almost 40. Dunleavy with a couple, and they like Dunleavy. I know they want to bring him back. So you're basically not going to be very far under the salary cap if you wanted to be, perhaps $10 million if you did amnesty with Carlos Boozer, which there's no certainty they would. One of the reasons that Nikola Mirotic, best player in Europe, may be 50-50 about coming next summer. He wants to play in the NBA, but he has a substantial buyout this year, so that's problematic. He might not. But again, I'm sure the way Augustine's played, the Bulls would like to bring him back. And especially the situation with Derrick Rose, where you don't want to put him out there for too many minutes. So you really want a point guard who can play minutes. So you're going to have to step up and pay Augustine some, assuming he even wants to come back. And you've got, you know, if you were to lose Boozer, you would have some positions to fill. You obviously don't have a backup center. We assume Nazi Muhammad would probably retire after this season. So there are a lot of small pieces to fill in that you could still be in awfully good shape. And I think the other thing that we're starting to see and we're going to see more of with the new labor deal is the end of this multi-huge star thing. I mean, just look back over the last 10 years. Was it 2003, 2004, I guess it was. Detroit won, clearly without this, whatever two stars there were. We didn't even know who their one star was. Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace, Richard Hamilton. All right, Dallas wins 2011. We know Dirk was a star, but Jason Terry was their second best scorer. So that's no Carmelo Anthony needed there. And they got a title. And then Indiana is probably in position as good as anybody at this point in the season to win or to get to the finals. And while Paul George seems to be a star, and maybe perhaps Lance Stephenson considers himself one, even though the coaches don't, you'd be hard pressed to find another star. They got Roy Hibbert on the All-Star team, but that's more a product of their record, which he's contributed to, of course, and their defensive play. But you'd hardly consider him a second, quote, star, because if you considered him a second star, you'd have to certainly consider Noah a second star and Luol Deng a second star, was a third star. Maybe Noah was the third star. And Venus was, no, that's a different star. Anyway, so you see, these things are possible, and especially if you look at the Pacers. Pacers essentially built exactly like the Bulls were. Had not Derrick got hurt in that playoff series, I was convinced, which didn't really mean that much to anybody, but I was convinced the Bulls would have gotten to the finals that season and be in their best position to win the title because they had Omar Asik, who appears to be in self-retirement of some sort. Obviously, Houston can't trade him because they kind of outsmarted themselves. That's outsmarted the Bulls in a way by getting him with that back payment of $15 million in the third season, which the NBA will remedy in the next labor deal, which they made a mistake and really worked against teams like the Bulls and the Knicks and was really unfair. But yet now Houston's in a bad situation because they paid him $5 million for each of two seasons, and nobody wants to take him off their hands into and have him for one season for $15 million and then lose him as an unrestricted free agent. So most likely he's going to stay. He doesn't seem to want to play there. And that's become a mess of its own right. And they're going to have some payroll difficulties of their own next season that they really haven't been talked about with Lynn and Asik alone costing $30 million in cash for next season. And really not one starter in the group. I was convinced because of Asik, Gibson, Noah, and Boozer, the Bulls had a huge edge on Miami. Pacers are likely going to have a better edge now because Dwayne Wade is not the Dwayne Wade he was a couple of years ago. Even with that Dwayne Wade, I was pretty convinced the Bulls had the edge, and they did all that regular season just because of the size, and that would have forced one of their big guys back into the starting lineup. They wouldn't have been able to play that small way where they've been able to win two titles. And Indiana is essentially built that way now. One star, you know, one offensive player really to dominate. Size on the, you know, big size on the inside, defensive mindset, slow offense. You know, Indiana was building that way to try to beat the Bulls, who you remember they couldn't get through in the first round series in a really tough series that Derek just simply won a couple of games for them and saved them. Ended up a five-game series. So they built with the idea of they would have to deal with the Bulls for years, much as the, you know, the Bulls of the late 80s and they're into the early 90s were building because they felt they'd have to deal with the Pistons for all those years, and they did. So you build to try to beat the best team, or at least the team in your division. You really can't build to beat Miami in a sense because, you know, can't get LeBron James. So anyway, that said, you can win that way, and especially now where the economics are going to change. So that said, we, you know, we went into the season talking about this is going to be one of the most wide open seasons. 8 to 10 teams can win. I think you're maybe down to 4 now. As you look around, we hit the halfway point last week. Oklahoma City, right now they're my favorite. Not today exactly, but once Westbrook comes back, once they get into and they've gotten use of players, Reggie Jackson and others, Lamb, well, Westbrook's been out and improved. I think they look to me like the best, the most likely team at this point. Then you got Indiana and Miami in the East. And then in the West, maybe the Clippers to me, the way they've come on, the way Blake Griffin has improved. Once Chris Paul's come back with the way they played so well without him, to me, they're probably fourth. I don't see Portland. Even though they're very good and they'll be in there, they'll still have to prove, you know, like Golden State, can you do it with great jump shooting as your primary weapon in the playoffs? I think the Spurs are, you know, in their natural progression, stepping back. Not that they're out of it, but you can see the struggle against good teams, guys getting injured. So it's going to be tough for them. And really, I mean, one of the teams that's risen is Phoenix. And you know, they're almost getting the sense that, you know, maybe they would make a deal at the trading deadline because they see it themselves, too, that, look, we can beat the Spurs. We can beat the Rockets. You know, we can beat the Blazers. You know, Denver's fallen back. We can beat Golden State. The Lakers are out of it. Dallas is not a threat. Memphis has been coming on. Really, they're one of the teams I think you're going to watch in the second half that's going to make a move. But that said, you know, it's still wide open as we imagine, but you know, it's not particularly top heavy. So anyway, congratulations to Joe for the second All-Star team in a row. Congratulations to me for remembering to do my podcast 2 weeks in a row, which is you know, no small feat in itself. And just looking forward to the end of this trip. Not really, because it's in San Francisco and L.A., and it's very hard to come back to Chicago in February after you've been in San Francisco and L.A., but always great to see Golden State. It is probably, no offense to anywhere else, it is probably the best home court, you know, the greatest fans in the world, and they're all the greatest fans in the world in all 30 arenas, but those fans are really something. It's loud in there, and it's kind of like the Seattle Seahawks in football. Home court thing that is really enthusiastic and a fun place to be. And they've really got, you know, maybe for the first time in 20 years, you know, an exciting and an entertaining team and a team that is a legitimate contender. So that's a good spot. It'll be great to see Pete Myers again, one of my favorite old Bulls, a terrific guy. And we miss him a lot. And then they finish, Bulls will finish up the trip with the Lakers. I don't think Kobe will be back playing yet. But he always usually has something to say. And then it's the last couple of games before the All-Star break. So we'll be back next week. That's all, folks.